Hey, it's the Local Spotlight Show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I am Chris Lorton. I am your host again today. And with me again today, the second episode, I have with me Doug Smith. Doug Smith from Smith Pest Control is well known. Been in the business for 40 years, taking care of all those pests.
Yeah.
Hey, what's your nickname again?
Dead Bug Doug.
Dead Bug Doug. Did it take a while to come up with that?
No.
Did it take years or like about 10 minutes?
Oh, yeah, no. Just popped in there. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Or seen a mouse and have no kitty, just call Smitty.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah, no, it's been a fun experience, all of it.
Yes.
Really enjoy life and everything it has to offer.
Yes, I know you do. Mm-hmm. And that's great.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah. And you love Jersey County.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Calhoun and Greene County. Love them all.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Erica is, and you have two daughters, right?
Erica and Mandy.
Yep. Erica and Mandy. Yeah,
and
great.
Brent, I consider him my own. I've raised him since he was two.
Okay. You know?
Yeah.
Great kids.
Oh, yeah.
And you've done a good
Proud
job.
Proud of them, man.
Done
Proud
a good job.
You betcha.
Raising
well,
those guys.
I ain't saying that. It was in them in order for it to come out. But, yeah, I don't want to take any credit. I've done my best, and what works for one wouldn't work for another one. They just exceptional kids that found a way in life to enjoy it and be good kids.
Well,
you know?
I think they watch their parents, you know. And
yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. I mean, my grandson, Mandy, just texted me the other day and said he's in college. And she said all year long, every essay he's wrote has been about me, which just tickled the living shoot out of me.
Isn't that sweet?
Yeah, it is, man. And, you know, he was like a hip pocket when he was little, just always around. And, and you don't really realize you're teaching them anything. They just kind of pick up on it. And,
oh, yeah.
So I guess I ain't read any of these, but I guess the little guy's got a million stories, you know, and he writes every essay in college about me, which just absolutely floored me, you know.
Well, that's great. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we were talking coyote hunting and all the ins and out last episode. If you're just tuning in, you go, oh, I missed the last episode. Well, you can go and listen on demand on our webpage and find it, look it up. We have a directory there, so you can look up other episodes as well. And our outdoor show is on there as well. And we have a YouTube channel, so you can. Will be on the YouTube channel, and you can watch it and share it with others. And I hope you do. Now, Doug, one of the reasons that we wanted to have you on, and that you wanted to come on, was to talk about the controversy of coyote hunting.
Absolutely.
You know, that there's a controversy because, now, basically the coyote, you know, he's after deer and other animals.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, he's just making a living. Yeah.
But as a coyote hunter, just give the basics of coyote hunting. What's the procedure?
I mean, you got to have permission from the majority or whoever you can get permission from. The farmers, a lot of people are just absolutely phenomenal with us. They want us to be there. They understand it's a sport and the coyote needs to be controlled. I mean, 90-95% of the people we hunt around, a lot of that 90% support us, allow us to do what we want.
Because it takes a big area to hunt.
Big
cause,
area.
Cause,
big area.
I mean, how big an area?
Just for instance, one time we, you know, it was rutting season for the coyotes, and in February, west of
rutting
town here.
Rutting season for the deer?
Coyotes, you know, the breeding season for
them.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. So just west of town here on 16, we jumped a coyote between Otterville and 16, and he crossed the highway and went north. And I don't remember how long it took, but I caught him off of the coyote up on Woody Road by Carrollton, you know. And that was obviously a male. You know, they run bigger when it's mating season and things like that. But, yeah, even on an average day, they cover a lot of turf and stomp on a lot of people's ground, you know. And like I said, most of them are supportive of us. Some will allow the dogs, don't want us on there. That's perfectly fine. A lot of the farmers don't care as long as it's not muddy or it's frozen where we can drive in to get our dogs or put a guy in a ditch to be able to shoot a coyote, you know, when he comes up the ditch and the dogs are running him. And then there's just a chosen few that you know, I mean, some of them are even my friends. They just think that dogs run deer off, you know, and everything has a range, you mm-hmm. know. You know, deer have a range. Coyotes have a range they live in. A turtle, a box turtle, has a range he lives in, you know.
Human beings.
Yeah, exactly.
we got an area we live.
And with the deer hunting, you know, it's been a great thing. It's provided a lot of pleasure for people with deer hunting and stuff, but I have mixed feelings about it because it's run a lot of the dog hunting because people have the theory that a dog's going to run a deer off out of his home range. And that, and again, this is strictly my opinion, but it does not happen. I've deer hunted my whole life. I've run dogs. I could tell you story after story how I've seen these hounds run a coyote past a group of deer that never moves, never goes anywhere, maybe not even stand up. You know?
Well, I think that is true because when I hear people talk about deer hunting, you know, I talk to deer hunters because we got the outdoor show, and there's a mm-hmm. lot of my friends and people I know, I ask them, hey, how'd you do this season, you know? Mm-hmm. And they usually have their eye on a buck.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they got their eye, and the buck isn't taking off anywhere.
Right.
It's got its home base.
A buck will stray farther during the rut, just mm-hmm. like a male coyote would, you know? To say he's your deer and you're going to keep him on your property in order to harvest him? No. You know, he's free to go wherever he wants to. But I've seen it many, many times on cameras and things like that because I own property, you know. And you'll have a buck summer on you all summer. And then when the rut comes, you're like, where'd he go? You know, like, dang, you know, I was wanting to get him, you know.
Yeah.
Well, then the rut gets over and things start settling down. The breeding season slows down. Well, here he shows back up. You're like, damn, you know, it's over and here he's back, you know, and I didn't get to see him through hunting season. So yeah, they'll go anywhere, but for some reason a deer hunter thinks that if the neighbor's dog runs through while they're hunting, run that deer to three counties north, you know. No, you know, well he
kind of like rabbits.
Yeah, it's just a bigger circle, you know, uh-huh. but they'll say, well, he went over there and peed on that tree. Well, who cares? There's wildlife pee on a daily basis, whether it's a coyote or whatever. You know, I mean, I've known old-timers that would take their thermos of coffee to their deer stand, drink their coffee, and then when they were done, they'd pee in the thermos so they wouldn't have any scent around. You know, I pee down my deer stand forever. It ain't like a deer comes up and says, oh, that's old Smitty pee there, you know, or anything else. I mean, this is strictly my opinion.
Yeah.
But I'm a firm believer in it because I've experienced it. I pee down my stands millions of times, you know.
You know,
so to think a dog come through there and just totally rent your hunt, you know, I mean, who knows that, say, a guy killed a world-class buck. Who knows, some kind of vermin, a dog or a coyote didn't just run through the holler below and caused that buck to move up on the ridge where he was hunting. You know, you might have not known it. I ain't saying that's what happened, but it very well could, you know. So to think that animals run other animals off is just absurd in strictly my opinion, you know. I wish this was a thing where people that think that, I could talk to them or they could ask me questions to agree, to disagree or whatever. But like it's back to what we was talking about, 90% of the people support us, you know. But you'll get somebody from the city that moves out and buys 20 acres. And these dogs have no idea what property they can allow to be on or what they can't. So, you know, if we got 10,000 acres we can hunt and say, just for instance, there's 500 there that's split up between four or five guys that each own 100 apiece, it's impossible for us to control these dogs for crossing your property. I respect every bit of them not wanting them there. I respect it's their property. They have the right to do what they want. What I'm asking is just if they would consider a little sympathy for what our sport is. You know, we're all hunters, and we all got to get along. But I want to know why their theory is, what did it hurt, you know? In most cases, if you'd own 100 acres, probably if you just turn your head for 5 minutes, they'd be gone, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And So nothing was hurt. Nothing was harmed. They're the kindest dogs in the world. You know, the only thing in their business is coyotes. You know, I've seen Chihuahuas run these dogs off. You know, at Russell Dunham out here east town. I shouldn't mention his name. He's a war veteran that I'm very proud of. But the dogs were south of his house, and I was calling my hounds to come up through there. You know, so we could get them caught. Well, he had a little Chihuahua that seen them dogs, went after him, and damn, just chased my dogs back south, which we're trying to gather up here. You know, I mean, they're just kind, you know, they're just, and I don't know whether people portray that a Bendit's a coyote dog, it's a vicious animal or what, you know, but
they are
absolutely not. Okay. No, they're a beagle with a lift kit and just kind dogs, you know, I mean. I send my grandchildren out in the backyard with them. Yeah, they're bigger dogs. They might bump one of the little tykes and knock it down or something, but it's totally, totally harmless. They're just that friendly, you know.
Hey, if you're just joining us, I have Doug Smith with me. He's a local businessman and avid coyote hunter, and we're talking about coyote hunting.
Yep.
And some of the issues of coyote hunting. Coyote hunting is important, probably if you want your deer to survive, you know, on your property, you probably need to get them down a little bit.
You know, if nothing else, if you have an organized bunch of coyotes that's used to hunting deer, if you run dogs, yeah, it busts them up and kind of messes with their normal pattern of life, you know, and if you'd happen to take one, you know, all that just helps, you know. You know, typically we end up with 100 a year, maybe a little less, somewhere right in there. So that saves a lot of rabbits, a lot of quail, deer, you know.
So you get 100 coyotes.
They do eat a lot of mice, which is a good thing. So yeah, we end up
getting 100, huh?
Yeah, close to it, yeah.
How many coyote do you think get harvested in the Jersey County a year?
Well, I mean, with the thermals, with people still hunting, you know, with squealing rabbits and things like that, oh, man, it'd be a bunch, you know, with what we participate in and stuff. You know, if you'd make me guess, you know, every deer hunter sitting in a stand, you know, a coyote comes by, he's shooting at it, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, I mean, how would I even be able to guess? But I would say, you know, I mean, 500, 600, 700.
Really?
You know,
a year?
I'm just guessing, Jersey County. I'm just guessing, you know, but.
Boy, they multiply that fast.
Oh, huh? Yeah. You know, it's supply and demand with a lot of animals in the same way with a coyote. You know, if populations are way up, they have less pups. If they're down, they have more. You know, it's just a way of nature of providing, you know, a balance somewhat.
So do you ever get, how do you keep track of your dogs?
We have GPS. Basically, it's like watching the TV in your truck. You know, you put a collar on the dog, and you got a bird's eye view on your TV, or it's called a drive track or whatever.
Yeah.
But you put the collar on the dog, you put his name in, and these dogs, you know, I mean, you can pan way out to where it's looking at 2 miles from above, or you can hone into like a 20-yard circle. So it shows these dogs running on this screen, you know. I mean, I can tell you 3 miles away, Sidewinder standing on the levee of a pond right there by that whistle, you know, 3 miles away. I mean, or if somebody will run up the intersection of Costello and Hickory Log Road, Butch is standing in the road up there, you know. So,
and these are your dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So no matter what, I know where they're at every step they make, you know. And we just watch over them. We protect them. Above all, the dogs come first. You know, I mean, I've had dogs get hung in fences. This has saved dogs' legs. Before, we had what they call telemetry, which was an antenna that you put a collar on that beeped, and you pointed this antenna in the direction of the dog, and it beeped harder. Mm-hmm. Well, typically, if you're hunting 3,000-acre block or 2,000, whatever, if your dog got hung in a fence, you'd use this antenna to beep him. Okay, well, he's still there, you know.
So you didn't really worry. Keep an eye on him.
So you didn't know. And if a dog gets his leg twisted in a fence and hanging by his back leg, you know, it's crucial to get him out fast because it cuts the circulation off and it'll cut a groove in his leg, and a lot of times they'll lose their leg, you know. Mm-hmm. With its GPS, you'll see 3 dogs running a coyote on your screen in your truck, and you can tell by the bird's eye where maybe a fence might be, and then all of a sudden one dog just stops. and the other two's going on.
And you can go right to him.
We can go right to him and get him out of there and save his leg, you know.
Okay, question. I guess sometimes there's landowners that don't like you driving across the ground.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What do you say to them about that?
You know, I mean, I'm fine with that. I really am.
So what do you do? Drive to where you think you can drive and then get out and walk?
Walk in, you know, or do whatever. You know, I mean, I love my dogs. I'll even take a trespassing ticket to save my dog's leg. It's just the way it is. But, and I respect that landowner to no end, you know. But I just want to know why he would raise so much heck if it was kind of an emergency situation, what it would hurt for me to walk in and save my dog's leg, you know.
Yeah, I can definitely see your point.
And I respect them. I don't want to be on their property if they don't want to be there.
But some hunters maybe aren't as
absolutely
cordial and you know, think about others like you do, you know, because you've been doing
100%.
Been doing it for a while, because I think I have heard where landowners get aggravated because they're putting ruts in their
oh yeah, we do not do that. Yeah. You know, I mean, some landowners, like I said, just get aggravated if they see your dog on the neighbor's property, you know, and call the law. You know, I mean, I want to know why, or even if our dog would happen to cross their property, I want to know why, what it is actually hurting so much that they want to shoot your dogs and they want to do all kinds of stuff. I've had dogs shot before, you know. Yeah, and that creates a whole new issue, you know. It's a felony to shoot a hunting dog, and in all honesty, my dog's not doing anything wrong that he hasn't been bred to do or I haven't taught him to do. So if anybody's to blame, I'd rather him come out and shoot me. You know, it's just that simple, because my dog didn't deserve it, you know.
Coyote hunters, they feel the way you feel about their dogs?
Probably not.
Okay.
You know, I mean, it's a sport where coyote dogs don't mean as much as a coon dog or a bird dog to the owner or something like that. And why, I don't know. There is a lot of them out there that feel like I do, but there's a lot of them that don't. It's just a dog that's a tool for them to hunt, you know, and for their pleasure. Mine's not like that. Mine's my pets, you know, as well as hunting dogs. So,
now, by law, do you have to have permission for your dogs to run across?
Well, years ago, it used to be that if you had permission and turned your dog loose there and he crossed somewhere where you wasn't wanted, it wasn't an extension of you. And then all of a sudden they turned, if you actually turned your dog loose on posted private property that didn't want you there, then yeah, you was subject to a ticket, you know. And so that was for years like that. So basically, if I had just say 1,000 acres and there's a guy with 200 acres in that block, if I turned them loose on the 800 acres and they crossed his property, they couldn't do nothing to you. Well, several years ago they changed it to where your dog is not an extension of you, where he could if you turned him loose on that 800 acres, he crossed that 200 acres, there wasn't nothing they can do to you. With all the controversy and the sensitive people anymore, they've changed that back. So I hate to advertise it, but yeah, if I got 10,000 acres to hunt and there's a guy in the middle that's got 10 acres, my dog crosses it, I'm subject to a ticket, trespassing ticket, which I don't think's fair. Because I love my sport, you know, but I just want to reach out to these people. Come talk to us or tell me why you get so upset when we have permission to hunt 95% of it around you. And
what do you say?
What's it hurting?
Yeah, you know? what do you usually say to people that get upset?
I go straight to them, you know, and when we get new landowners, I go straight to their house, knock on their door. A lot of times, or they're out of towners, a lot of times I call them. It's usually a no right from the start. But if I can keep them on the phone and talk to them and tell them about my passion, I can reason with them. And I can name you numerous people that has allowed us to do that for me doing what I've done, you know. And I'm not blaming any coyote hunters, but a lot of them don't do that, you know. Mm-hmm. So when their dogs just start crossing ground that you haven't even talked to somebody about, it creates issues right from the start that gets hard to solve, you know. They just feel like you don't have any respect for their property or their wishes or the right they have to own their own ground without somebody aggravating them, you know.
But you do respect them.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Yeah, I do. And I'll do anything to try to make, I mean, we've got a person or two, one of them was my cousin, you know, I mean, he just raised hell with us all the time. You know, he owned 20 acres of wide open country that had a horse in it. You know, for some reason in the beginning, he was my cousin. I liked him, thought the world of him, but he was just always against everything. You know, he's just a sour old guy. Called the cops on us all the time. The cops figured out what the heck. We wasn't aggravating him, you know. He just a whiner and wanted to complain, you know. And so the cops have shifted to our side, you know.
Oh, they have.
Mike Gettin, our CPO, think the world of him. Me and him's had our differences. He's entitled to his thoughts and I'm entitled to mine, but I have the utmost respect for Mike. You know, he's wrote us a few tickets that we deserved. One story, we was out east west of town again. The dogs were north. They jumped a coyote, and it was coming south towards 16 at a hard, high-speed pace, you know. Yeah. So I just, in order to, for the best thing I felt like to do, I ducked in on some farmer's property that allows us to hunt. They really don't want us to drive on him. But I did. It wasn't going to hurt anything. It was froze or dry. I don't remember the situation. But I left the highway through a field entrance and headed north towards them dogs, and I stuck my gun out the window and just shot in the air. You know, I didn't care about killing that coyote. All I wanted was not to have a pileup of car accidents on the highway, you know, get my dogs killed or whatever. All I was doing was turning that coyote the other direction. And, and somebody had seen it off the highway and called the law. Well, Mike come out and said, I heard somebody shooting out of the truck. And I said, yes, sir, that was me. And so he asked, and I told him the situation. I said, you can write me a ticket for shooting out of a motorized vehicle. Not that they would, but this particular farmer, he really didn't care, but he don't want us driving on. But if he forced that, he could get me for trespassing. All I was trying to do was keep an accident from happening on the highway and my dogs getting killed, you know. And Mike just shook my hand and said, that sounds reasonable. And I just told him, I said, if it happened again, the same scenario, I would do it again. I don't care if you wrote me 10 tickets this time. That's just, I was going to do what was right, you know. And it wasn't about killing a coyote. It wasn't about anything. It was about the safety for the highway people and my dogs, you know. And like I said, me and Mike had our differences. Are they bad? No, we can always agree to disagree. But he the law gets tired about coyote hunting. The people calling in and complaining about it, you know, whether you're right or wrong, it's an aggravation to them. And I get that, you know, I mean, I get 100% of it, but it's just an aggravation for law enforcement to have to deal with something. You know, years ago, they used to come out and with a chip on their shoulder, like we was always wrong. You know, I hated that. You know, some of our game wardens done that, you know. Well, they found out that, you know, it's not always our fault. And if it is, I've told Mike from the very beginning that if I do something wrong, I'll never, ever lie to you. You just have to write me a ticket. But if you hand it to me with a smile, I'll take it with a smile. If you come out with an attitude, you know, there's going to be friction because I'm not taking that, you know. So me and Mike says agreed that if I'm honest with him, yeah, you know, I mean, you know, just for instance, there's one particular person out west of town, back when one of the law enforcement that's retired, he had two complaints on us, and neither one of them we were at fault. But he was aggravated because he had to deal with it. So I asked him what he was doing the next morning, and he said nothing, just working. I said, well, meet me out on West County Lane. Yeah, probably shouldn't even set an address. But anyway, I said, so he met me out there, and I go, just watch this. So I said, follow me to this dip, and you sit there, and I'll go down the road, and I'll turn around and come back. He just kind of looked at me stupid, like, what do you mean? I said, just hear me out. So I left there and went up and turned around in a buddy's driveway, went past these people's house, turned around and come back, and they were on me like ducks on a June bug, chasing me down the road. I just went to the dip, stopped, and I said, there you go. He goes, you're kidding me. I said, what'd you do? I said, I went and turned around my buddy's driveway. They just seen us out there. You're kidding. You know, I said, no. So he got to encounter what kind of people these were. I mean, they were screaming and hollering at him just like they was us. We'd done zero wrong. We didn't even have a dog out, you know. They were looking to hang us for no reason, you know. And A lot of times that happens. And that's what I want to get across. You're entitled to your property 1,000%. Things that get out of control that we cannot control, that in my opinion does not hurt anything. I just
give us a break.
Give us a break and understand where I'm coming from, because we know you don't like us there. We don't want to be there. You know, it just happens.
But the dogs sometimes go there.
They're on a mission. They don't know the difference. They're just dogs. So, like I say, before you decide to shoot a dog, come out and shoot me, because I'm serious about that. Because they did nothing wrong. You know, if they come in there and terrorized your property and caught your house cats or tackled your dog in your yard or come up and growled at you or something, 1,000%. But I'm just talking about them clipping the corner of a 20-acre patch to raise a stink like that. Is I just want you to have some sympathy for us, you know. Even though you ain't into hunting, even though you don't like dog hunting or any sport, just please, you know, just understand. Come talk to me, you know, and I'll tell you just what I'm telling you here. You know?
Well, Doug, we ran out of time.
Hamstringing me again.
Thanks for coming in. Yeah. And I hope the message works and people understand you.
I do too. And please, just I'm not hard to find. If you want to talk, call me. You know,
that's right.
It's just the way it is. Yep. All right.
Well, thank you, Doug.
Thank you very much.